just wanna thank you for always being there. When I was so down and out, you came along and made me wanna shout. I just wanna thank you. Sing it now. I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you heard my prayer. I just want to thank you for always being just want to thank Him. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Certainly another privilege that the Lord has given you and I to be assembled back in His house to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Isn't it good to know the Lord? Isn't it good that He knows you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you just go ahead and give Him a good hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him with all your heart. Just a little bit more of that song tonight. Brother, how do you think you can do me a verse of that? You don't? All right, let's just sing the chorus then. I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you heard my prayer. I just want to thank you for always being there. Somebody say glory. Glory. Amen. What an opportunity the Lord has given us once again to come into His sanctuary. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request. Remember Sherry Smith and Keith Fowler from Durham, North Carolina. They're both suffering with cancer and would appreciate the prayers of the saints. So we want to remember those requests tonight, those folks over in North Carolina.
want to pray for Sister Shirley Robbins, upper respiratory infection. Let's remember her tonight as we pray. The Lord will be mindful of her. Sister Judy Keith sends this in. I want to praise God for saving my life in a car wreck on Monday. I know it was a miracle to only have bruises and a broken hand. Thank you for praying as I recover. Thank you, Sister Judy Keith. So we want to praise the Lord for protecting our sister, amen, from a serious injury, even death, in that car accident. We'll remember Sister Jan Winters in prayer. She has to go to the hospital this afternoon to have a pacemaker put in, and they're going to keep her overnight. Pray that all will go well. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Jan, just a lovely, lovely saint of God. We love her, don't we? Amen. Sister Michelle Swaffer says to please pray for her granny, May Manuel, heart condition. The Lord knows all about. We just committed unto the Lord tonight. Sister Barbara Gravely called to request prayer for Brother Bert. He is experiencing a high fever, not feeling well. She was hoping to get him into a clinic today so they could determine what his problem is. So let's pray for those folks tonight, that the Lord would just be mindful of Brother Bert. Sister Victoria Thomas from Georgia called to request prayer for her daughter, April. She continues to experience dizziness and having difficulties functioning on her own. She can't see a specialist due to a problem with her insurance concerning the cost. So we want to pray for that need tonight. And that she offers this testimony. She also wanted to praise the Lord for a good report from the doctor. She had a kidney transplant 20 years ago, and everything is fine. She says, praise be to the Lord. So thank God for that. Brother Keith Phillips sends this in to please pray for myself and a co-worker as they will be doing a certification for the next couple of days. I just pray that all will go well on that behalf. Sister Brenda Harmon says to pray for Jackson Bright. He's Jackson Bright, 5-month-old son of Ashley and Kenneth Bright of Lufton, Texas, passed away Sunday, the 14th of SIDS. Please pray for that family. So that little child, 5-month-old son, passed away on Sunday. So we want to pray for that family tonight. Also, Sister Brenda says that they will be going to Cincinnati this weekend for her niece's graduation. Pray for traveling mercy. So let's remember that request tonight. Sister Janet Payne says that Mark McClelland, my landlord, who has cancer, and two ladies, Linda Miller and Sandra McGraw, want to thank our church for their prayers. Their health issues are a lot better, but still remember them. So let's remember those needs tonight. Brother Baker asks that we remember Sister Christine in prayer, who is having severe back problems. So let's pray for that need tonight. Sister Bonnie Potter says, please pray for my granddaughter, Abby Miller. Leah and I have custody of her right now. She is having tubes put in her ears tomorrow morning. I know God can guide the doctor's hands so that all will go well. Praying this will help improve her hearing. May God bless you. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Sister Linda Jablonski says, my sister Joanna called and asked me to put in a prayer request for her granddaughter Destiny, who has a bacteria and a viral infection, also a large lump that's swollen is behind her left ear. Just want to remember those needs tonight. Also, she has an unspoken prayer request, so let's remember those needs tonight. Brother Randy Scott says to please keep a gentleman by the name of J.D. in your prayers. His father just recently passed away, and he's having a hard time dealing with that. So we want to ask that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation. Also, he sends in a need. Please pray for my friend Rich's dad back in New York. He is in the hospital having extreme pain and a hard time breathing. So let's remember that need tonight. Sister Janet Kennedy sends this in to please remember Sister Linda Kennedy in prayer. Hospice informed the family today that her time may be getting close at hand. So we got a lot to ask the Lord about tonight, don't we? You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about? How many of you know we're serving a prayer answering God? You believe it with all your heart. Somebody say praise the Lord. Could we stand together tonight? Let's sing that little chorus one more time. Just want to thank you, Lord, for all the times you've heard our prayers. How many times has He heard them? We can't even begin to count. Is that the truth tonight?
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you've heard my prayer. I just want to thank you for always being there. When I was so down and out, you came along and made me want to shout.
Oh, I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One more time. Oh, I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you've heard my prayer. I just want to thank you for all. Say praise the Lord. And we've come to have church tonight. We've come to worship the Lord. We've come to give Him all the honor and all the glory that we can tonight. How many of you going to put your shoulder to the wheel tonight? Somebody say glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Amen. Brother John Horniak, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer. What a wonderful risen Savior we're serving tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you. Appreciate you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege it is, Lord Jesus, that we get to come to your house, Lord. Lord Jesus, we not only get to come here, Lord, but we get to meet you here, Lord. And Father God, we're so grateful that you love us so much to come down and worship with us and praise with us, Lord. And you just want to sweep through, Lord. You just want to cuddle up next to us, Lord, as it were, Lord Jesus. And we're so thankful for that, Lord. We lift you up. We praise you for it, Lord Jesus. You're such an awesome God. Lord Jesus, you created the heavens and the earth, but yet you humbled yourself down, Lord, that you would come down and dwell with me, Lord. I'm so thankful for it, Lord Jesus. And a God like that, with a God like that, Lord Jesus, these things are nothing, Lord. These requests of prayer, Father God, they're nothing to you. Lord Jesus, we get so concerned and so worried, Lord Jesus, what's going to happen next, but we know that your hand is in it all, Lord. We get so concerned, Lord Jesus. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn sometimes, Lord. But when you finally get us and you pull us up close and you say, I've got it all in control, Lord. We're so thankful that we serve a God like that, Lord. You're not a God of wood or stone, Lord, but you're a living God. And you're concerned, Lord Jesus, with these needs and with these requests, Lord. Oh, Father God, you're a comforter. You're a healer, Lord. You're a way maker. We're so thankful for that, Lord Jesus. And with these prayer requests, Lord Jesus, they're just opportunities for you to show yourself again, Lord. Over and over again, you've showed yourself to us, Lord. And these are just opportunities, Father. You're just asking that we would ask you to come on the scene. Lord, here we are tonight, Lord. We're asking that you would come on the scene for these requests, Lord. Oh, Father God, show your glory once again, Lord. Oh, Jesus, not only in this request, Lord, but in this service here tonight, Lord. May your glory come down, Father. May you, Lord Jesus, show yourself once again, Lord. May you just anoint each and every part, Lord. Help us to participate, Lord Jesus. May our worship be pleasing to you, Father. We don't want it to be a stinking smell in your nostrils, Lord, but we want it to be that sweet-smelling Savior in your nose, Lord. We pray that you just be with us now. Anoint this service, Father. We love you. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Brother John. God bless you.
Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that would be streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. We're going to hold to God's unchanging hand, right? What's the rest of you going to hold on to? Let's sing it with all of our heart. I ain't going to fuss at you tonight. We're just going to have church. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, we're going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, build your hopes on things eternal. We're going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Yes, we're going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Church, we're going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Things eternal. Let's hold to God's unchanging hand. Well, now time is filled with swift transition, and naught of earth unmoved can stay.
Amen. Brother Ryan, come get ready to sing tonight. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I laid off that old coat and I put on the new. That's your best decision you ever made too. I'm going to tell you the best thing you ever did do. When you laid off that old coat and you put on the new, I tell you the best thing I ever did do is when I laid off that old coat and I put on the new. Oh, I'm gonna tell you the best thing I ever did do. When I laid off that old coat and I put on the new. Oh, I'm gonna tell you the best thing. Thing you ever will do when you take off that old coat, put on the new. Praise the Lord. Give Brother Ryan a nice hand tonight as he sings for you. You can be seated.
Sun's about to break, and we've been running for so long. Your legs are getting weary, and you can barely even crawl. You feel like giving up, you want to just give in. The tides of doubts confine you, and try to pull you in. But the still small voice inside, it keeps pushing you to fight until you see your loved ones cheering as you cross that finish line. So run, run as fast as you can. We gotta make it to the promised land. I see those city lights just ahead now, child. Get your worries and dry your tears. Pursue the pain, no time for fears. The city lights just ahead now, child. So, very soon, he will take you by the hand and gently lead you in. But until then, we will fight. Love in our hearts, fire in our eyes. Run, run, as fast as you can. Gotta make it to the promised land. I see those city lights just ahead now, child. Get your worries and dry your tears. Pursue the pain, no time for fears. Those city lights are just ahead now, child. Now, child. victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. And I've told Satan, get thee behind. His victory today is mine. And victory is ours. Victory is ours. Victory today is ours.
Donnie's getting ready to come. We're certainly glad to have our pastor, Sister Carol, back home with us. Missed them while they were away. Had a glorious time here over the weekend. Brother David Seiler just really blessed our hearts. But we're just so glad to be in the house of the Lord again tonight. Let's sing a little chorus. Papa God, I still refer to him as my great papa. He is always going to be my papa. How about you? Always has been, always will be. I'm not selling out. How about you? I'm not giving up. How about you? I'm not quitting. How about you? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you love him. With all your heart tonight. Papa God, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. You cleansed and made me whole. You touched my heart. You changed my soul. Now I know I need you so, Papa God. Oh, Papa God, you saved me. Change my soul. Now I know.
Oh, Papa God, you saved me from my whole life. You cleanse and make me whole. Aren't you glad? My soul, now I know I need you so, Papa. Once again, praise the Lord. Oh, Papa God, you saved me of my old life. You forgave me. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're so blessed tonight to be able to call him Papa. Not calling him that because other people call him that, but because we have a relationship with him. Amen. God bless you. Certainly nice to be back home again. Heard you had some wonderful services while I was gone. That's so appreciate Brother Darrell and Brother David. Amen. Let's turn to Acts chapter 24 tonight, if you would, verse 10. Acts chapter 24, verse 10. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. They neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. He just politely said, these folks are liars. That's what they were. Now, I tell you, friend, dealing with the book of Acts, we may not never be faced quite like Paul was with that, but we're going to deal with the same spirits. We're going to deal with liars. We're going to deal with hypocrites and devils, but this is the book of Acts, so it'll help us to know how to deal with liars. Sometimes you ignore them, and sometimes you just meet them head on and say, you're not saying what the prophet said, therefore you're a liar. There ain't no easy way to say that. Now, watch, he goes it a little step further, and he goes ahead and clenches the nail. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. Wow. Now, Paul, be careful, buddy. This man's a pretty important man. Now, they want to keep the Jews as happy as they can. Be really, really careful. But Paul's just going to come right out and tell them. There's a time to where we need to be just as bold and brazen. All children of God love peace, don't we? We're peacemakers. We don't only love peace, but sometimes you just have to deal with the issue and just be able to say the truth. Amen. Let's pray together. How many would like to be remembered tonight before the Lord? God bless you. Heavenly Father, as we approach your word tonight, how thankful we are, Lord Jesus, that you inspired Luke so many, many years ago to be able to pin down these precious words. Lord, they've been preached now for 2,000 years. How grateful we are to you, Heavenly Father, that you would allow him to write not only the signs, the wonders, the miracles, when things went good for the church, but when things went bad, when things were difficult and they were having such hard times. Thank you, Lord. May you speak to us tonight from your word. Father, you see this prayer cross that I have in my hand. You see this sister. You know this need that she has. I pray, Lord, as I preach with it in my body tonight, may the anointing of the Holy Ghost go with it, Lord. We know that you're mindful. We do believe that the book of Acts is being lived out again today. Speak to us tonight, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Now, we know these people were very, very cunning. They were very cunning and very deceitful. They were professional liars, professional hypocrites, and religious on top of that. Now, when you get a person that's religious and they're a liar, you've got your hands full, I'm telling you. Brother Bram tells us religious spirits are seven times worse than any other devil. Now, I'll tell you, a flu devil's a bad devil. Kidney stone devil, that's a rough devil. Epilepsy devil, bad devil. You know, about any devils you want to talk about. But when you go to talking about religious devils and then make them seven times worse than any other devil, then you're talking about a real, real culprit to try to deal with. And it takes the Spirit of God to help us to be able to know how to deal with people that are under such an influence. Now, you know, Paul, in various situations, he had no certain method by which that he would deal with it. It wasn't, in other words, he wasn't methodical that if you deal and you're in a great strain, you deal with it this way and repeat the same thing over there. He might deal with something one time and never deal with it quite the same way again. But what we do find in the way that he was methodical was that he followed the Spirit of God and the leading of the Lord. How many knows that's so important for each of us? Now here, whenever he's going to be able to present himself and be able to represent the cause for what he's been charged for, he feels the need and the necessity to cut through the red tape. Let's not beat around the bush, as we'd say. Let's just be right open and plain. Let's just go ahead and tell this guy the truth of the matter. Now, I said, first of all, they cannot charge me, truthfully, of going in and trying to cause a riot. Now, they've got a reason for doing this. Remember, sedition is against Roman law. the Jews were protected by Roman law. Now, the way that the Roman Empire was at this state of the Roman Empire, whenever they would go in and conquer, they would allow the people to remain and have an element of their government and of their religion. Now, the Romans would not go along with it. They themselves convert and become Jews or become Carpathians or whatever more, but they would allow them this freedom to be able to worship Zeus or whatever god they wanted to worship, and they would not go in and tear their temples down. They would give them that liberty and that freedom. As a matter of fact, some of these places were actually Roman states in the city, in the sense that it would be a city state. So they was under the emperor, but they would actually let them have their own rule. So they would use Carpathian laws, they would use Jewish laws, and the Jews actually had a right under Roman law, if someone come in and profane the temple, they have the right to kill them. And they knew this well. So they are going to present Paul as being an offender, both in the Jewish way and in the Roman way. Now, if they can prove that Paul was introducing a new and a different God, then they would be able, by Roman law, to present him as a man that was a troublemaker on two accounts. On the Jewish account, and on the Roman account. Now watch this man as he goes to laying out his case. Now he says in verse 12, neither found they me in the temple disputing with any man. Now they've told you that I was trying to cause sedition. They've told you I was going around trying to cause this type of stuff. But he said, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Now, there was not any civil charge, nor was there a religious charge by which they would be able to charge me and say that I had done wrong. Now, notice what they're doing. They're very, very cunning. Now, friend, you know, it amazes me how that people, once they get under a religious something, and they want to go to telling lies. Some of these folks that have left the message and they're trying to charge the prophet of saying this and that and the other, and they talk about me and they talk about other preachers all the time, and they say some of the most foolish nonsense. But not only do they say nonsense, they absolutely fabricate lies. Absolute lies, and promote it as if it is the truth. And yet many people will never search it out and never really look to see if it is the truth or not, but they will just take it as falsehood and go ahead, or as the truth rather, and never really try to prove it, knowing that before you receive an accusation against an elder, you're supposed to have two or three witnesses, and they're supposed to swear that they even saw that man or heard that elder being guilty of this certain thing. But you know what? People don't want truth. They want gossip. They want lies. They want hearsay. Why? Because they themselves are also anointed with the religious spirit. Now, but watch Paul, how that Paul is going to defeat it in the Roman term, and he's also going to defeat it in the Jewish term. Watch, he says, neither was I raising up the people, neither in the synagogue nor in the city. Now, he's going to prove that he was so far from moving in the realm of sedition that he never even gathered any people around him. Notice in verse 12, they found me neither in the temple disputing with any man. It wasn't that I even went to one individual in the temple, which, I remember the doctors of the law, this is what they would do. They love to dispute. But he says, they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, much less a group. I didn't have hundreds. I didn't have 50s. I didn't even have one man that I was trying to convert. What they're saying is an absolute lie. Oh my. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogue nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. Now they said he was a pestilent fella. He was a mover of sedition. He was a profaner of the temple. And he said they cannot prove what they're saying about me. Now isn't it amazing that there's time
times that the Spirit of God will just move on our heart, and when people go to saying things against us and accusing us of whatever more, that you just feel in your heart, you know what? It ain't worth even fooling with. It ain't even worth, because if you defend that and straighten that part out, they'll make up another and another and another and another. But then there are times to where the Spirit of God will move on your heart and say, straighten that out. And no doubt, this was one of those times that Paul felt that he needed to present his case before the Roman magistrate. Now watch, he says, neither can they prove. Now this is the important thing. Neither can they prove. People can say anything. And they will. Especially if they don't like you. Now, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to prove it. And Paul says, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. I'm supposedly a pestilent fella. Well, show me where I've caused any type of pestilent behavior. I'm supposedly a mover of sedition. Where have I done it? I'm supposedly been one that's moved the people around. Give me one man and give me witnesses that'll tell the truth that can prove what I've done. Oh my. Verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way. Now we're going to get to the heart of the matter. After the way which they call heresy. Now notice, here we get to where the problem lays. After the way which they call heresy. Now notice, he's not saying that the governor actually called it that yet. But they are calling it that. So it is the accusers that is calling what he's saying and what he's doing. They're calling it heresy, which makes him a heretic. After the way they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Well, let me just go ahead and reiterate the same thing. After the way that a lot of these people call false prophecy, after the way that a lot of these folks that have been around the message and never did really get a good dose of the Holy Ghost in the first place, after what they call heresy, and the way they call all kinds of other sayings, that's the way I worship the God of my apostolic fathers. I worship the God of my fathers, as my faith has been restored by the prophet of Malachi 4. I don't apologize. I do not beg your pardon. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say it again. I worship the God of my fathers according to the restored faith given to us according to Malachi 4. And Happy Valley Church said. Now watch him. He's not apologizing. He's not begging his pardon. But he says, this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Now you got to know the Roman law now to know that Paul is covering himself from the front door to the back, including the kitchen. So Paul is now saying that Roman law protects a Jewish believer. He knows that's the Roman law. Now he says, I am worshiping according to the law and the prophets. I've not introduced a new God. I've not introduced a new way. They call it the Nazarenes. They call it this and that and the other. But I believe what the law and the prophets said. Well, let me just go out ahead and say with Paul, I believe what Isaiah said. I believe what Jeremiah said. I believe what Joel said. I believe what Moses said. I believe what Jeremiah. Come on, church. We believe what the prophets said. We believe what the New Testament says. Therefore, we believe in Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:1-7, Malachi 4. Amen. Now he says, I'm not ashamed of this, and just so you'll know, I am not ashamed of it. Now they call it heresy, but in reality, it is based upon what the law and the prophets have said. Now I know that some folks kind of get the idea that Brother Branham was the one who hatched up the idea of predestination and election, but Brother Branham never done it. As a matter of fact, God done it. A lot of folks get aggravated at Brother Branham and the way that he preached marriage and divorce, you know, by giving a man in one covenant and the woman in the other. Brother Branham shouldn't have done that. Brother Branham shouldn't have done that. Oh, you need to read your Bible. It was not Brother Branham that done that in the first place. It was Jesus. It was Jesus and it was Paul. That's exactly right. Now he said, so I worship the God of my fathers. Now this brings him under Roman protection of the law. Had he introduced a new God, bringing in heresy and sedition as they tried to frame him, then they would have brought him out from under the protection of Roman law. He said, hey, you can't do anything to me. The Roman law protects Judaism under Judaism faith. I am a true Jew. Glory. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Now notice in verse 15, have and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow. Now here he's going to get in the resurrection again. And that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. They've got a problem. Now remember, it was the Sadducees that did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And your Paul brings it right back again and said, hey, I believe the same thing they believe. I understand it more clearly than what they do, since my master raised from the dead. But I believe, based upon what Abraham said, about what David said, about what Isaiah said, I believe it. What I'm believing is coming from the law, so I am protected by Roman law. Oh my. There's going to be a resurrection of the dead. In verse 16 he said, herein I do exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense. Oh my friend, toward God and toward men. You talking about, now what in the world does that have to do with what the man is preaching? He's showing that by bringing in the new display of the light of God, according to the way he's preaching the gospel, it does something to a man's conscience. It's evident these men, what they are professing they believe, it has not affected their conscience so much, because it will let them lie. The way they believe the law and the prophets, they can lie. They can falsely accuse a guy and it don't even bother them to do it. That's the way some of the message folks are too. They can lie, they can do all kinds of things, fabricate, but the way they believe the message, it don't bother them at all. I'm glad I don't believe the message that way. The way I believe the message, you gotta live right. The way I believe the message, you ought to shut up your big fat mouth if you can't say something good about somebody. Just don't say nothing at all. Going around spreading gossip and rumors and lies, my belief of the message won't let me do that. Oh my. Now watch how Paul is saying this. He said, by the way they call heresy, this is what it does to me. It will not allow me to live a life that is beyond the requirement of the word. It brings me to a spot to where that I have a good conscience toward God, and it also helps me deal that I have a good conscience toward men. But it is evident by the way these men believe the law of Moses. They can fabricate lies against me. They can twist things that are not even so. And no doubt they could even hire false witnesses and bring them in here and seemingly produce it, because their conscience will allow them to do it. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad that when I hear the tapes of Brother Branham, it influences me so much. It influences me to go to the house of God. It influences me to want to hear a preacher stand behind the pulpit and preach, just not a man that pushes play. Amen. It influences me to live right where people are watching me or not. I don't want to live right just when your eyes are on me. I want to live right all the time because his eyes are on me. But of course, their conscience now, that was a different story. But they were religious. They were priests, and they were all the up and up of the religious day. A little bit of lying. I mean, you know, everybody lies every now and then. You'll go to hell for doing it. Well, nah, you can't be honest all the time. You better be if you plan on going to heaven. Praise the Lord. But the way they read the law, the way they looked at it, you know, yeah, you have a few offenses every now and then. It's okay. It's okay. I mean, I only lie, Brother Donnie, you say, to protect the truth. Oh, okay. All right. Come here, let me cast that devil out of you right now. You don't have to lie to protect truth. Tell truth. That's what protects truth. But their conscience had now come to a spot to where they could do all of this. You imagine? They could fabricate all the lies against the Lord Jesus. They could do what they'd done, but they would not receive that money back from Judas. Oh, no. Oh, goodness. No. Now, the Sabbath day is coming on so that they can't defile themselves for the Sabbath. And they, you know, they've got to, ooh. They've got to wash their hands and they've got to do these certain things. Cause, oh, they can't break the law. And they've just crucified the Son of God. They've lied. They've been dishonest. Why? The way they read it, it didn't bring their conscience into a good state. Look, children, if you got a desire to live right, you ought to be one of the happiest people in the world. Oh, my. Herein do I exercise myself. Now, many of you maybe go to a gym. Some of you have a home gym and you got bells and whistles and this and that and the other. And you run and you do. And boy, there's some exercise. Right here's some exercise and we need to do. This is an exercise that we all need to practice. Don't worry, you won't find it at the gym because most of the ones at the gym don't know how to do it. This is an exercise, Brother Terry, we all need to do. Now, Paul said, look, the thing I'm accused of, look what it's made me do. And what they say they believe, look what it's produced in them. Now, you and I make our choice, of course. For those who left the message and pulled away from the message and they're so free now and they can do anything and everything they want to do. And you look at that life and think, okay, so this new doctrine, this new understanding has allowed them to be like that. Is that what you want to be like? Not me. Not me. Oh, no. What does it do? It turns people into reprobates. And that's what these people have done. Paul said, look at them. They have stood right here and they've hired this man to lie to you. And this is what their perception of the law of Moses produced. Now, the law of Moses is nothing wrong with it. But it's the way they read it and the way they looked at it. If you need to lie to protect the truth, then lie. If you need to twist it, then twist it. It doesn't matter. We're standing for the Torah. Oh, my. Notice in verse 17. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. Oh, wow. Quite a troublemaker, huh? This is a modern-day TV preacher. And you imagine one of the modern-day TV preachers wanting your address so he can sow you a seed offering of $20. Wouldn't that be strange? Now remember Joseph in the Bible, whenever his brothers come to buy corn, he actually give them their money back from the stored up food. Praise the Lord. I must have got disconnected there, Brother Michael. I've been waiting for that for years and years now. If we're living in that type again to where that our money will get sent back. And the corn, of course, too. I'm not holding my breath, though, because I want to preach this weekend. Now, watch. Here is a man that is accused of sedition, heresy, trying to cause revolt. But he said, I'm not sure if you knew, sir. I was actually bringing offerings. There's a famine going on in Jerusalem. There's a famine in Judea. And I was among my Gentile brothers. And we raised thousands and thousands of Roman denarii. And I actually brought offerings to help buy food for some of these people who hate me. Yep. That's the kind of gospel I want. Glory! After many years. Now remember, it's been 25 years since his conversion. Now he came to Jerusalem about 4 years after the conversion, then made another trip in Galatians chapter 1 verse 18, he refers to it. But it had been now several years, hard to say exactly, but it had been several years since he'd been back to Jerusalem. But he wants this ruler to know, my reason for coming back was that I brought money, I brought offering to the nation. Now notice, he's not just bringing it to help the message people. But he says, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offering. So there's going to be other people there that's going to benefit from it as well. Now, you know, what a contrasting thing it was when Paul really tells what he'd done and what he was there for compared to this great lawyer as he stood there and rehearsed over and over again what these lying preachers had told him. And now Paul says in verse 18, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. Now Paul said, look, this is the reason that I was here. I came to help the brethren. There's a famine going on, and I was purified. If I am against the law, if I am against the scripture, if I'm against the Bible, why would I have been purified? And these Jews from Asia, these troublemakers, found me there. I didn't have no tumult. There was nothing going on. They're liars, liars, liars. Oh my. Sometimes you just have to call them what they are. Verse 19. Who ought to have been here before thee? Now isn't this something? How many Wednesday nights have we been looking at this? We haven't seen one lame person healed. We haven't seen one deaf person healed. One blind person healed. But we're still in the book of Acts. And what's so many of these last Wednesday nights been? Trouble, heartache, legal matters. Oh my. Who knows what it'll be, friends, before we get out of here. But I believe we're equipped. Now he says, really, them Jews from Asia who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. Or else let these, same here, say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Amen. All right, boys, put up or shut up. Amen. Imagine them just kind of standing there like y'all sitting there looking. You got something to say? Y'all want to refute what the man's saying? Quiet, about like it was there at the court that day, I imagine. Now he said, them Jews should have been here, but since they're not, I'll turn around to those who've accused me. Say it. Prove that I've done something wrong. Now, children, whether or not you understand it, this is the Holy Ghost. There's times God anoints his men and they are just as sharp, just as cunning, just as cutting, just as ripping as when they are when they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Why? The Holy Ghost needs to know how to do this. And men of God need to know how to do it. Praise the Lord. Now he says, except it be for this one voice. Now remember, this is Tertullus. That I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection. He's the one. Now this guy, he's the one who told all these things. But I notice he kind of left out this resurrection part, so let me just remind you of it. He said, except for it be this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. I noticed Tertullus didn't mention that. He mentioned that I broke this law and I broke that law and I broke that law. But I noticed how conveniently he left out the truth. He didn't re- really tell you the main reason that I'm called into question today, and that is because of the question of the resurrection. Now, I know the Sadducees standing here, they're the ones who don't believe in it, but the Pharisees do, and Tertullus kind of left that alone.
Man alive, he's standing right there fulfilling the exact words of Jesus when they're bringing you before governors. Don't fear, because the Holy Ghost will give you what to say. Now you imagine you'd stutter and stammer and say, I don't know what to say. Should I be bold? Should I be aggressive? Should I just lay back? What should I say? Don't worry, Paul. I'll give you what to say. Oh my. Verse 22. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. Now remember, Felix was a former slave. He had been raised in politics because his brother had found favor in the eyes of the emperor. His brother is going to save him twice. Now he's positioned here to be the governor. So he hears matters of judgment. Now whatever he pretty much says, whatever he says is the law. So he said, well, I kind of know about this Jesus stuff. I've heard a little bit about this fanatical thing. I know I have a little bit of a knowledge about it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of put you over here in a holding area. And now remember, he's playing the middle. He's playing the middle. He knows there is nothing against this man to hold him. But the scripture tells us later that he wants to please the Jews. Now it's very important that he keep peace. If there's sedition and tumult, it comes back to Rome, it can fall on him. He loses his position, which he did later. So it's very important that he plays the middle. He's already found out this guy has a little following, but not a gigantic following. But the Pharisees and the scribes, they have a whole lot more pull. So if he can, he'll try to appease both sides. I hate a snake like that, don't you? Oh my, praise God. Now, notice what he does though. Verse 23. He commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. Now that's good, isn't it? That's recommended that he would do that sort of thing. So watch him now. He's kind of working the middle. Now he commands the centurion. Now tell him what I want you to do. I want you to be able to just watch this guy. Let some of his acquaintance come. Let the people come and see him and let you know. Now the Jews is going to be sort of happy because I've not let him go. So they'll be kind of happy with the situation. And I'll, you know, you never know about this guy, what he can do. So let's just kind of watch him and let's see the amount of people that comes in. Is it people of reputation and honor? If it would be, we wouldn't want to get in trouble with them. So let's kind of watch the kind of people he keeps company with. That says a whole lot, don't it? Notice he said, let him have his liberty, that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or to come unto him. Now, this shows, of course, that Felix found no malice or real no justice of the cause by which he's accused, or he would have went right on into the further step. So Felix just kind of plays the middle and holds it back. Now remember, Felix is now married, of course, in an adulterous situation. He's married to Drusilla. Drusilla was a Jew, so she already knew a lot about this Jesus movement, of course. Now, watch in verse 24. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, Felix, he was a Roman, and now he had been a prisoner, rather, and given Roman citizenship. Now, he had married Drusilla. Now, Drusilla was a Jewess. Drusilla had already married another man. She was actually Herod Agrippa I. He was her father.
father. King Agrippa II was her brother. Bernice, which was her sister. Her and Bernice did not get along very well because Drusilla supposed it was a very beautiful woman, and her sister was not very beautiful, so they had quite a conflicting thing going on all the time between them. So this woman had already married another Gentile. In order to marry him, it was the requirement of her father that he become circumcised. So he had become circumcised, submitted to the Jewish law. But you know what happened? You remember a man earlier that we read about here in the book of Acts, a man by the name of Simon the sorcerer? It just so happens that whenever Felix saw this woman, he was so taken by her beauty that he wanted her to be his wife. Remember, Simon the sorcerer had the opportunity to be saved and receive the Holy Ghost. And Paul and them, of course, dealt with him because he thought he could buy the gift of God with money. And now Simon turns worse, and he gets worse, as most people do, once they turn down truth. So then Felix gets Simon the sorcerer to try to bewitch Drusilla. Then Drusilla comes, and she actually leaves her husband, and she comes and marries Felix. Now this is an adultery. Now Paul is aware of this situation, so here he's in a very precarious situation again. Holy Ghost, help me. Oh my. After certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess. Now remember, she's real royal. Agrippa was her father. Agrippa II was her brother. Bernice was her sister, aunts and uncles and all that. So she was given in a marriage to Azuzus, which was the king of the Messenes. Now look at the setting. So they call Paul, and no doubt a lot of it was Drusilla herself wanting to hear. And if you notice the way that Luke wrote this, he sent for Paul and heard him concern the faith in Christ. Now you may wonder, Brother Donnie, why would God allow his prophet to be this way? Now think of it. If Paul would have went to Rome and set out on his journey, and he would have got a donkey and maybe went on a boat and went this way and that way, Felix no doubt would have never heard the truth. But God, in the midst of this difficult situation, is now going to give a prophet of God the opportunity to stand before this great man and tell him the truth. My, now look at the setting. The setting is the magnificent auditorium which was built by King Herod. Herod was quite a builder. He loved building. He was quite an architect. He loved things out of permanency, so he wanted his buildings built of marble and granite and all kinds of metals and stone, so it would way outlive him, and it did. So they are now sitting in this magnificent auditorium. He is living in the place that Herod had built, the palace, for himself. So he is sitting here, and this man of God now walks up before them. So the setting is this beautiful auditorium, this beautiful castle. Now there are no accusers there. The scribes, the Pharisees are not even there. Maybe a few of the Roman bodyguards that's around. It was a marble hall. The judgment hall was a marble hall which was attached to the palace itself. And here the apostle Paul is now going to address them. So we have this beautiful, beautiful setting. And we have the distinguished hearers, which are now going to hear his sermon. Felix, the Roman governor, which had been a partner governorship with another man from Syria. He was recalled back to Rome, and now Felix is the total magistrate and control and power. So here he stands as a great man, a mighty man. He has Nero's ear. This is the time frame, of course, that Nero is alive. So he's still right now in favor with Nero. By his side is his beautiful wife, even though it's an adultery. She's sitting there living in sin. An adulteress. She is the daughter of a king. She is the sister of a king. She is the sister of another princess. But she's lost. So we have the beautiful auditorium, the wonderful setting, these great, great people. And we have the fearless preacher. Amen. Praise be to God. Paul, at the request of Drusilla, has now been fetched, called out from his temporary custody. Now you imagine, Brother Rob, him thinking, God, what should I say? What do they want? You know, if they've done something wrong. No, it's not that. Actually, they're wanting you to preach to them. Oh, really? Praise God. I'm right at home doing that. I'll tell you what, you ask just about any God-called man, that I know of, they don't like doing funerals, they don't like doing weddings, they don't like doing public speaking. You know where their place is? Behind the pulpit preaching the word. That's when their greatest position as far as most relaxed. Now, watch. Verse 25. As he reasoned of righteousness. Oh, that's a real good subject to deal with. Righteousness. Temperance, which is self-control of sexual appetites. Oh, dear God, this man is hanging himself. No, he's following the Holy Ghost. Now, you imagine, friend, the same Holy Ghost, but now he's leading him in a different way than just a month or 2 months or five days, whatever it was that he stood before Felix. There it was in defense of what he had done. Now it's in defense of what Jesus has done. Oh, glory be to God. How in the world, Paul, are you going to preach about righteousness? Amen. This man and this woman's living in adultery. You're going to dare preach about temperance, self-control?
Amen.
Oh, my. As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come.
Yes, sir.
Felix trembled.
Think about it.
This man of God must have been. Now, Luke condenses this. We don't know exactly how long he went. Lord have mercy. How long did he go? Which ways did he weave it all in and out? And you imagine Felix sitting there hearing this orator, as he would think of him, this gifted God called man anointed by the Holy Ghost, and he preaches about the righteousness of God and maybe combining it with the righteousness of man, which is right doing. And then he brings about temperance, self-control, and lack of self-control. And then he brings about the judgment that is to come, and brought it so real that he preached Felix right to the white throne.
Amen.
Felix was so caught up by this man's gift and his ability to bring the word that Felix felt himself before the judgment seat of Christ. And Felix trembled, Brother Mike. Trembled. Don't you love to hear a man of God that can do that? Oh my, he can preach the wedding supper in such a place you've got your fork in your hand and your napkin in the other. He can preach Calvary so much you're standing there at the foot of the cross with blood dripping on top of you. You know what I'm saying? It must have been powerful. Oh, you think about it, friend. Paul wanted God, what am I doing here? God, what's this all about? And now God given him the opportunity. And we realize many times men of God have to preach such things. It doesn't mean that they repent. Felix never repented. Drusilla never repented, but God wanted somebody to tell them success isn't always by how many is in the altar. Success is following God. He reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time." How many people have repeated Felix's words? When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. That's why a lot of folks look at religion. That's why a lot of folks look at salvation. That's the way they look at the Lord Jesus. I don't have time right now, God. I'm in the middle of my career. I'm in the middle of doing this and that and the other. I don't have time to get saved. I don't have time to go to church. I've got too much on my plate already. Whenever I get out of school, whenever I graduate, whenever I do that, I might think about getting saved. I might think about going to church. After I become married and after I do, whenever I have a convenient season, you don't come to God when you want to. You come to God whenever God calls you. No man can come to me except my Father drawing. But yet Felix is approaching it as if though this is something he can start and stop. access and stop access. Go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season. I will call for thee. The theme of this alarming sermon was based on basic simple faith in the atonement of Christ. The righteousness it would produce, the godliness, the character that it would produce to make you free from sin and shun the appearance of evil. Judgment can be preached in two ways. It can be preached for those who are in Christ as what they have escaped. For those who aren't in it, for what they're fixing to face. No doubt he touched on both. Because there were two categories of people in that room that day. There was a man which had been a murderer. A man which had been zealous. There was a man which had done horrific crimes and terrible wrongs. But that man could stand there judgment free because he was in Christ. There sat another man which had taken another man's wife. He'd done all types of political wrong. But instead of him coming to Christ for an atonement, he chose to delay it for a more convenient time. Oh my. Finally, Paul brings the crescendo of his sermon. He lifts his astounded hearers to the judgment seat of Christ. There they face the judgment. Amen. And Felix trembles. Isn't it amazing that Luke remains silent? His pen never wrote one word of Drusilla's reaction. We won't know until the day of judgment. Amen. What her reaction was. Peculiar, isn't it? He mentions and comments about Felix and tells what Felix said and what Felix did, and yet he says nothing about the very person who was responsible for bringing him in. What the impression had upon her, we don't know. What she thought, the pen of inspiration did not catch and write it down. It's the same with you and I tonight. No doubt the pen of inspiration, God, more than likely, won't have anyone to catch your thoughts or yours or yours or yours about the sermon that is being preached tonight. What you really thought about it. Or those that will be streaming in Georgia, Canada, wherever more. No doubt none of us will ever really know what you thought. If you have sin in your life and the Spirit of God has pricked your conscience, we won't know. But one day it will be displayed upon a great screen which will be even much larger and clearer than this one. Oh my. Did the gleaming fires of impending judgment so move upon her that she was terrified? Or was it out of anger that set her that she becomes so upset? Who does he think he is? Don't he know his life is in my hands? No, he didn't know that. My life ain't in Trump's hands. My life ain't in the Supreme Court's hands or the government's hands. My life's in the hands of God. Amen. Amen. Or the devil try to threaten you, I'll do this and that and the other. Say, shut up, devil. You don't have my life. My life ain't in your hands. My life's in the hands of God. Not your hands. Oh, my. Think of it. But for Felix, the silence, of course, is brought to clarity. This great man which had judged, no doubt, many people. As he would sit there in the judgment seat, and they would sit on the other side of him and shake and quiver as he would say, you do this and you go that. Beat the man, do that. But now he was the one shaking. And this Paul had no Roman authority. He was not a magistrate. He was not a leader, so called. He was only a simple preacher. Oh Lord, children, aren't you glad the Holy Ghost moved on you one day and you got to trembling too? Thank God you had enough sense not to put it off. Oh my. Notice this perception. Now go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season. I will call for thee. I'm in that state a lot. Folks do whatever they want to do and live however they want to live, and then, you know, something will happen to them, and then all of a sudden, they call me. And I'm supposed to drop everything I'm doing, of course, and just run right over and do whatever it is I'm supposed to fix. Snap my fingers, put some magic buttons, say some poetic words or something, and fix everything that they've tore up for the last 20 years. I'm not a magician. My name is not Simon. I'm not a sorcerer. I'm a preacher. I can help you. I can help you if you'll let me. But you realize this is what happens many times, and many people never come to that time because God never deals with them again. Mama, you imagine this weary, war-beaten veteran of the cross. Once again, by the Spirit of God, he is able to mesmerize this small audience. He's preached to much larger crowds. He spoke to crowds that were more vibrant, no doubt. Spoke to crowds that the majority of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. But now he's speaking to a man and woman that's in a terrible sin. But God is still faithful. When he finishes, I don't know exactly, of course, how he felt. I think we can know similarly as preachers. Knowing when God gives you a sermon of condemnation and judgment, and then in that service that night, somebody's going to cross the line. Somebody's going to turn God down for the last time. You don't know that feeling unless you've stood there. You don't know what it's like when your sheep get more spiritual than you are, and they want to guide you instead of you guiding them. And you realize they're not under the influence of the Holy Ghost at all. They're under influence of demons. Right. Amen. You don't know what that's like. It's a horrible feeling. You imagine now the war-torn missionary, the apostle, as he stands there. And he hears these devastating words. When it's convenient, I'll call for you. I wonder how Brother David, if he had notes or scrolls or, you know, maybe unrolled something and read it to Ernie. Just kind of rolled it back up. Walked out. Feeling so sad. Knowing that this man had been preached right to the white throne, his flesh had trembled and shook. But he treated it as if though it was a hair appointment. Or an appointment to get your oil changed. Or some other kind of appointment. Hey, I'm supposed to get my oil changed tomorrow, but I can't do it tomorrow. I'll reschedule it next week. When God's dealing with you, my friend, you better respond. Amen. And the church said,
Amen.
Oh my, the pitiful conclusion. Now ends in three ways. Delay, resistance, and finally rejection. Delay. You see, it was Felix's way of delaying things. Watch him now. You study people and you find how they are naturally. Most of the time, you'll find how they are spiritually, unless they overcome the natural habits. So what did he do naturally to Paul? Delayed his judgment. I'll wait till Lysias comes. Well, Lysias ain't going to tell him any more truth. He doesn't give him a letter of innocence. What more could he accuse him of? He's already proved it. So what'd he do? Delayed him. So now he comes to now his decision for heaven, and he applies the same rule. Delays him. You find folks that don't really assume the responsibility as far as being what they ought to be. You watch a person that's on their job, you know, they kind of quit 15 minutes early and, you know, they steal a few minutes here and do this and that and the other. You watch them spiritual, they do the same thing spiritual before God. Praise the Lord. That's exactly right. Why? Because you don't live no higher in the church than what you do at your home or in your job. Whatever kind of Christian you are, that's the kind of Christian you really are. So you watch them then if they shirk the responsibility and they shun the responsibility of being a mother or a father, more than likely they'll do the exact same thing spiritually, because they'll live out in both realms, both natural and spiritual, what they truly are. So you always see Felix, when it come to him now passing judgment on Paul or setting Paul free, had nothing to hold him. So what do? He delays. So when it comes to hearing about eternal life and judgment and this kind of preaching, what's he do? Exactly the same thing. Delay. Later. Later. There's many folks this very night that's in the regions of the lost. Many of them have been falling in this pit of darkness for hundreds of years. This pit is so awful and so horrible that Brother Branham said a burning flame would be a pleasure. Now, can you imagine a burning flame and you in a flame, and then you would say that would be a pleasure? Remember when he was in this realm of darkness? I mean, he was falling and falling and falling and falling, and so sick, and smoke coming up all around him. Oh my. He called for mama, but there's no mama there. Call for daddy, no daddy there. Call for God, but there's no God there. How many in that place tonight put off an altar call? Might have been at a Baptist church, might have been a Methodist church, because the mercy of God wants to save them. He don't want them to be lost. Well, when I get older, I'm just 16, I got a lot of wild oats to sow. I want to do this and that and the other. You know, when I get older, I get mama's age and daddy's age. Sure, I want to serve the Lord. I don't want to go to hell. But what do? They make salvation as if it is an appointment where they can call and schedule. Okay, God, I'd like to get saved Sunday. Is that a problem with you? Can we work that out? I'd like to get saved Sunday. I want to be a full-grown, mature Christian by Wednesday night, and I'll go ahead and get baptized. I want the whole thing. I want everything you got in 2 weeks' time. Is that okay? You got a problem with that, God? He does have a problem with that. Salvation is the Lord's doing and not ours. And you know what God does? God calls us when it's convenient, not so much for us, but whenever he sees fit to call us, and more than likely, it'll be at a very inconvenient time for you and I. Because he loves to break up our world. Now you know what's amazing is, as we go on, Lord willing, we'll look at it again when we pick this up. Do you understand that Felix continued to have more interviews with Paul? Because he felt like that Paul, according to the verses that will follow this, that Paul would have been able to give him money to buy his freedom. So he kept meeting with Paul again and again and again. Would you imagine every time Paul ever got around him, he never felt it one more time to witness to him about his soul. I don't mind telling you, friend, it's a scary thing. I've sat in my office and I've sat in different places around the world and talked to people. And it's like you're talking to a brick wall. There is nothing. There's no pull on the gift. There's no anointing. There's no word from God. There's nothing. And you're sitting there looking, thinking, dear God, I'm looking at somebody that's crossed the line. God will give you nothing. Why? Convenience has run out. Oh my. Notice in verse 26, and we'll close. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul. Look at this man. Are you nuts? Felix, are you out of your mind? You've turned down salvation. You've turned down forgiveness. And you're interested in money? Amen. So he kept meeting with Paul. Notice what Luke says. That money should have been given him that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. So he meets Paul, Brother Terry, again. And again, he sends for him. Hey, come out and see me. How you doing? Well, I've been better. Accommodations ain't much. The food ain't much to write about. So what feet has got in his mind? This man is the leader of this sect called the Nazareth. I hear there's some rich Jews in there. You know what? He might be able to buy his freedom. I could be a rich man. You got to be kidding me. This man has the words of life. And what you want from him is money. He had the words to preach you into the paradise of God. But you're hoping he'll give you money. Lord Jesus. Children, I hope you understand it. This part of the book of Acts is ongoing tonight. Do you understand? Men of God around the world are preaching to the eternal lost. There are people sitting in our message churches that know these quotes and these scriptures, and they've heard preachers preach till they can quote it as good as the preacher can. And some of them feel no pull of God a bit more than that pulpit does. They feel a bit more the drawing of God than that bottle of Gatorade does. And we're preaching. That's why the results are so minimal. That's why the results, you heard me say it years ago, we had a meeting in Kenya. And we was there, Brother Barry Coffin, several different brothers and myself was there. About 5,000 people a night visiting those services. I made an altar call, and in the entire meeting, thousands and thousands of people, two people come to God. Where are we at? Closing the Gentiles' history. But what people want? Oh, they want a word from Brother Donnie. A lot of folks want me to tell them they can live any way they want to live. Yeah, go ahead and do this and that. Why, sure, God understands God. They don't want the words of life that I can bring to them. They want me to compromise. Come on, church. They want a preacher that'll just stand up and play. Let them play and let them do whatever they want to do. Oh, my goodness. We need men of God that'll get behind the pulpit and handle the word like a sword. That'll cut sin away from our lives and set us free and preach a gospel that'll fill us with the Holy Ghost. What's wrong with this man? Brother Jim, as he took leave of his senses. So he called Paul to come and visit him. And then Luke says, he hoped that money also should be given unto him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed. So he actually starts having some fellowship with Paul. Yeah. Let's bow our heads. Oh, my Lord, sweet Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, children, we don't want that to be said about us. We don't want to play church, whether you're here in the visible audience or the invisible audience that streamed this service tonight. The Spirit of God dealing with your heart about something in your life, dealing with you about salvation or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let me make it clear and emphatic. You are not going in the rapture just by saying you believe this message. You have to have the Holy Ghost. This is your token. This is your ticket that will allow you in the body change. Please don't sit around our church and other churches and think because you believe this message you're going. You are not. You must be born again. That's not by accepting the doctrines of the message. That's by your old husband being dead. And you being born again. Please, don't do as Felix done. Don't do as Felix done and wait for your convenient time. And then, what will you do? What do some people do? They come to church more often. And they commune with the saints. They come and have fellowship with the saints of God. They come to church. I enjoy going to church. Oh, yeah, I like to go to church. I mean, I don't really serve the Lord that much, but I don't mind going. I like going to church. I might get something out of it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Help us, God. How many wants to be a genuine, Holy Ghost-filled, consecrated Christian? Amen. Me too. How many of you Holy Ghost saints tonight feel like you need a refilling from the presence of the Lord?
Kim, I'll just stand our feet together. I wonder, Brother Wes, if he ever shook again, or if every time he got around him, he felt more relaxed in the natural realm and got to knowing Paul a little bit better on the human side. And the conviction didn't bother him no more. He never shook anymore. He never felt convicted anymore. He'd go back to Drusilla. Hey, I talked to Paul today. Oh, really? What did y'all talk about? Oh, we just talked about the weather, and I told him some of the things that's going on around the empire. Would he preach on you again? He didn't. No, it's really unusual. It seemed like he's really, he's let up on that. He's really a nice guy. But I've noticed he's not really preached on me as of late. That ought to scare you to death. So he started enjoying him. So then he'd call for him again. Because he kept saying, who's coming to see him? Hey, this rich Jew, he's a merchant guy. He said, man, I know this guy's got money. I know he does. If I could just offer it to him. Watch, friends. It proves Felix knew he was innocent. If he was guilty and would have sold him his freedom, they could have cut off his head. He knew he was innocent. His own bargaining terms proved again Paul's innocence. But he got to where he just enjoyed the man so much. He just enjoyed being around him. And keep looking for money. He said, Brother Donnie, I'll tell you, when I come to church sometimes, I get uncomfortable. Glory. Your preaching makes me uncomfortable. Hallelujah. That's what I want you to do if you're not where you need to be with God. The gospel ought to make us uncomfortable. If you come in here tonight and you got sin in your life and something don't strike that, I failed this service. Somehow I miss God. It ought to make us feel uncomfortable. It ought to make us, oh, Brother Donnie, you really made me check up. Good. Made me check up too. I don't want sin in my life and get comfortable around the Holy Ghost. I don't want things in our life and get comfortable around the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I know this has been unusual. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. The same man standing before the same man. The Apostle Paul standing before Felix as his judge. Dealt a little bit of the resurrection, talked about different political issues. Accusations made against him. But the next time he's called in his scope. He's called in his calling. The scripture mentions nothing about Felix trembling before. But this time it was the gift of God in a different avenue. The Holy Ghost was anointing Paul before to give him words, no doubt, to speak. To help him when he was being judged. But now he's speaking in his terms. The realm where he lives and exists. The realm of eternal life. This great ruler, which has judged many people, was so moved by the words of this man that he trembled and shook. But somehow or another he overrode it. And the next time it was easier, and the next time it was easier. And before long he didn't feel it at all. Poor Felix, his convenient time never came. They recalled him. Nero would have killed him. But once again his brother stood in for him and spared his life. He was chastised and punished, brought to Rome in chains. That would have been bad enough. But he not only went with Roman chains, but greater chains of darkness was now around the man's life. For we know historically, after Paul preached to him, he got worse and worse and worse. Lord Jesus, help us to not turn you down. Not just initially for salvation, but as Christian believers, when we hear the word preached for us to come closer, help us not to put it off, Lord. Forgive us for our slack and our slothfulness, Lord. We love you, Jesus. May you speak to every heart here tonight, Lord, in the visible audience and invisible as well. You'd like to be remembered, would you just raise your hand, not so much to me, but raise your hand to God. The Lord knows your need and your desire. Amen. Friend, don't harden your heart. The cry of this age is to repent. You got anything in your heart? Make it right with God. A good conscience, not only toward God, but toward men. You don't want to be so righteous and so appear so good and so holy before God and yet be so offensive to people. So offensive to the bride of Christ. Amen. What are you hoping for tonight? Money? Words that'll let you live your own life and do what you want to live. Do. Live any way you want to live. Or would you rather have words that would whip you? Words that might make you uncomfortable. But yet words that'll help you clean up and be what God wants you to be. Brother Donnie, it ain't convenient. Felix, don't you go that way. If God's interrupting your life tonight, let Him interrupt your summer plans. Let Him interrupt your summer schedule. Are you willing? Or does your schedule mean more to you than God's plan does? Let Him inconvenience us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We love you tonight, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, your presence is here, Lord, dealing with hearts. I pray you would help us so we would not be like Felix, that we would shake and tremble at your words, yet delay, resist. And then it becomes so common that we can set words preached and not even bother us anymore. Oh, Lamb of God, may we all be always be sensitive to the correction of the Holy Spirit of God. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Pass by this way tonight, Lord. Look at my heart. Look at every preacher's heart, every deacon's heart. Search us, Lord Jesus. If there's anything in us that you find that displeases you, Lord, help us, I pray, Lord. Lord, I want my thoughts to be known tonight. It may not be written on paper like this. Nobody may not print it out after I say it. But let my thoughts be known. I was moved by your word. I was moved by your presence. And I ask for help. Don't let the silence of the ages silence my voice the way it has Drusilla. A woman filled with sin and caught up in such debauchery of such a life. Yet she never turned from it. She never heard the words that led her to repentance to change her heart. Oh God. And her silence remains on the annals of history. And that day we'll all stand there. And we'll hear this story again. For we will watch Felix and Drusilla as they walk before the judgment seat. Once again they will start trembling and shaking as they did before that mighty preacher that day. We will stand there at the white throne. And our minds will go back to this that we've heard tonight. Go back to the place in the scripture. And we will remember that Felix had his time, but it wasn't convenient. But Lord God, may none of us present, may none of that happen to us, Lord. Whether it's convenient or not convenient, that don't make no difference, Lord. We want to respond to you. Praise God. When you call us from sin, when you call us for a more consecrated walk, whatever it is, Father, we want to respond to your call, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. Lord, you know myself and my call as a minister. Father, me personally, I'd be perfectly satisfied if I stay here at home and go out 2-3 times a year and that's it, Lord. Father, you know I don't like traveling, I don't like going, I don't like being gone. But Lord, one thing that matters to me more than anything else is that I don't miss you. Lord, that I don't miss what you want for my life. It's not always convenient. It's not always easy, Lord.
These brothers that travel, it's not always trips of convenience. Lord, the food, the long hours of travel, and the difficulty of staying in places, and Lord, so much goes with it.
But Lord God, we're willing to go. We're willing to do what we can, Father. It'll be worth it all if we can bring one soul. Lord Jesus, help us each one tonight, I pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the book of Acts. Lord, these parts are sad. They don't make us rejoice like healing and miracles. But this part has to be done. Help us, Lord Jesus, as preachers, to do this part and do it faithfully, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many loves Him with all your heart? Praise be to God. Aren't you glad you responded to His call? Oh, maybe some of you put it off and God was dealing with your heart. God in His mercy reached to you. He only owed you one time. But God in His mercy reached to you time and time again until you yielded. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Some of you sat in the church and drug around and played church for years and years. But God kept on dealing with you time and time and time again. And He got a hold of you and changed you. Thank God. Aren't you grateful for that? Aren't you grateful for that? You think of Felix, oh my, that could have been Donnie, that could have been Terry, that could have been you, that Warren, Dave, that could have been Jimmy. Instead of being Felix, it could have been Wes. But thank God something moved on our hearts and we responded the right way. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Harry, let's sing just a little bit before we go. Oh my, don't you appreciate His grace and His mercy to us? Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh my, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just worship Him a little bit. I know you kids is going to be out of school before long. Some of our adults that's going into college and all that, they're going to be out of classes. So you know what? I ain't going to worry so much about on Wednesday nights keeping y'all just a little bit longer. I try to be nice when school's going on. I think sometimes I spoil you too much when it comes to that stuff. We need to get out of our convenience. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Well, it's the pastor back home again. So. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little. We'll go. God bless you. We'll see you again, Lord willing, this weekend. Praise
Without
God.
Him,
yes, Lord.
I could
Amen.
Do nothing.
Amen. Let's sing it together before we go. Oh,
and
Jesus.
Without Him.
Without You, Lord.
I'd sure
I know,
be
Lord God.
Failed.
Man at his best is a failure. Mercedes is weakest.
And without Him,
without You, Jesus,
I would
Amen.
Be drifting.
I'd be drifting
like a ship without
everybody
a
now. All let's just raise our hands and sing it to Him. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, do You know Him today?
Oh, please, children, please, don't turn Him away. He's wanting a closer walk, don't turn Him away. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost, don't turn Him away.
Jesus, without Him, I'm lost, I would be.
Without Him, I would be dying.
Without Him, I would be dying.
Be so enslaved.
Oh, mama. Without Him, my life would
be hopeless. Be hopeless.
Oh, but with Jesus.
touched, oh God. Amen. Let's sing it again.
Jesus.
Sing it, children. Oh, Jesus. My sweet Jesus. Aren't you glad you sing this verse again. Without him, I could do nothing. Oh, without him, I could do nothing. Oh, without you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we would. We'd completely fail. Amen. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Aren't you glad you're saved? Praise God. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? Lord Jesus, be mindful of all these, Lord, that seek in prayer tonight, dear God. Minister to them, I pray, Lord, according to your great abundant riches, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you so much, Father God. We rejoice in your presence, Lord. Let's sing something else, Harry. God bless you, saints. We so love you and so appreciate you. Let's come back again this weekend expecting the Lord once again to speak to us by his word. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be a child of God? Wonderful to be a Christian. Wonderful to be living for him in this day. Hour of darkness, trouble everywhere, wars, rumors of wars. My, speaking of nuclear bombs and this and that and the other. But don't you worry. You've got a great place to hide. Eagle feathers. Hallelujah. Eagle feathers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
The more Amen. I seek you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
The more I find you.
Praise God. Amen. Let's sing it now as we go.
The more I find you.
When I find you, Jesus. Yeah.
The more I love you.
Ooh.
I want to sit yes, at your feet.
Hallelujah.
Drink from this cup in
Amen,
your hand.
Lord.
Lay back against you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Feel your heart beat. Your love is so deep. It's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming.
Everybody together now.
The more I seek
you.
Find you.
me. Drink from this cup in your hand. Lay back against you, Father, and breathe.
Hallelujah.
Feel your heart beat.
Glory to God.
Your love is so deep.
Yes, Lord.
It's more than I can understand.
You go. Before I do, leave with this thought. There's two great men standing in this same building. One of them has power, money, authority, personal friends with the emperor, married to royalty. All kinds of people tremble at the speaking of his name. Another one is a prisoner. He goes back into the place there of confinement, cool, damp. His food isn't good. The bed isn't pleasant. The company's even worse. But he's free. Which would you rather be, Felix or Paul? Every one of you have that choice. Oh, you may not be a governor. You may not be no more than just a sinner out here. But each of us face that choice. For me, I'll choose the dungeon. I'll choose the food that ain't so good. I'll choose this and that and the other. I'll take sides with Jesus. Oh, my, you imagine him laying there in those times. I've stood in the Marmontine, I've told you. Stood in the Marmontine prison. Horrible place. Absolutely horrible place. But Paul wasn't alone. He would be able to lean against his chest, Harry. If he had compromised a little bit, he could have been on the street. He could have been free. But in reality, who was free? Who was free, Paul or Felix? Who's really free tonight? I'll tell you, the only free people in this place are those who are serving the Lord Jesus. That's true freedom. That's true freedom. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. I love you. Let's go in the fear of the Lord. Sing it, Harry, for us. God bless you. Go your way, Paul or Felix, it's your choice. For me and my house, we'll choose the harder way. Amen. God bless you, saints. The more I seek you,
the more I seek you,
seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open to you. Praise God. Hallelujah.
The more I find you.
What does it produce? The more I love you.
The more I love you.
Amen.
I want to sit. More than I can understand. I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find.
His love is so deep. It's more than I can understand. I rest in Your peace. It's overwhelming. The more I see the more I find You, the more I find You, the more I love You. I want to sit at Your cup in Your hand, lay back against You and breathe, feel Your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in Your peace, it's overwhelming.